What's up, everybody? I'm back after about a 2-month hiatus. Sorry about such a long wait between episodes. I have a few excuses. First, I went through finals week in school, and then my wife and I went to Peru for about 2.5 weeks. And then we came out here to Washington, D.C., where I'm doing an internship, and just getting that started has been kind of crazy. So, been kind of busy slash out of the country. But I'm back here to bring you some more episodes, and I should be able to get about an episode a week up until the podcast is finished. Which, who knows how long that'll take. Hopefully, by the end of summer, most of the content's kind of covered. So I hope you guys have been doing okay. Shout out to everyone who emailed in or commented on the blog. You were my donkey's whip to get me to keep recording these episodes. So thanks for reminding me to do that. It's also nice to hear that people are actually getting some benefit from the podcast as well. We've been doing English stuff up till now, and we've been covering English grammar in all the previous episodes, but now we're going to shift gears and start talking about the rhetoric portion of the English test. And I'll do 2 or 3 episodes on that, kind of depends how much we cover, but the rhetoric part of the ACT is very different than the grammar part of the English section, specifically. Rhetoric is a lot more about good decision-making by the author, whereas grammar is more kind of nuts and bolts, where to put commas and stuff like that. In rhetoric, you have to think as if you were the author, and you kind of have to put yourself in the mindset of being the author. So we'll look at a bunch of examples that kind of illustrate that today, but kind of general things you want to be watching out for is you want to just be paying attention to the author's purpose as they write. Kind of why are they writing this passage? Is it to entertain you? Is it to inform you? Is it historical? You want to pay attention to the style the writer is using. So that can mean anything from like how formal they are. Is this a super formal kind of essay, or is it kind of a casual thing? Is it funny? Is it serious? Are they using lots of big words, long sentences? Are they using smaller, simpler words? Is it written more just simply and clearly? So these are things just to kind of have in the back of your mind. And whenever these rhetoric questions pop up, you want to be, if you've paid attention to what the author is writing like their style and their purpose, then the rhetoric questions will be easier. So one thing I do recommend that'll kind of help overall is make sure you read every sentence of the passage. You don't want to just skip from underline part to underline part. You want to read every sentence as you go along, which will help you get in the mindset of the author and understand their purpose a little more. And then one other general thing to pay attention to as well, a lot of these questions, they'll have an underline portion, and then they'll just give you three different options as well as no change to plug into the underline part. With rhetoric questions, there's often actually a question involved. It'll say something along the lines of, like, given that all of the following are true, which of the following options best shows the author's love of the country? I don't know, something like that. So pay careful attention to actual questions on the ACT. They often guide you exactly towards what you need to choose as your answer. And we'll for sure look at a couple of those kind of as we talk about rhetoric. But the two kind of general things I would say is read every sentence in the passage and kind of pay attention to the story and the writing as you go, and then read carefully any questions that show up, because those questions usually point you towards the right answer. So now let's look at some examples. I think with the rhetoric stuff, it's best to just look at examples of questions and illustrate what kind of things you'll be needing to do on the ACT. Also, a note on the blog. I'm not going to be updating the blog over the summer. Maybe in August I'll update it again, but anytime we go to questions, it's going to be from that same 2018 test that's already linked in the blog. So just open any of the posts and open that up. I know most people aren't actually looking at the blog, so for those of you that are, you can just find the test link on the blog already. So again, that 2018 test. We're going to start by looking at question 30. So once you get to question 30, it says, the writer wants to add the following sentence to the essay. Remember, he would say as he made his daily pickups, every quart counts. The sentence would most logically be placed at. So this is a common type of question where the ACT is giving you a sentence. They always do this at the end of a passage. And they're saying, basically, here's 4 different places throughout this passage. Where does this fit the best? So I'm not actually going to walk through this whole thing because I think most people are probably not looking at this particular passage. It'd be confusing. But Questions like this, a note on these. First of all, these kinds of questions take the longest. Any question where you're rearranging sentences, or like in this case, you're adding a sentence and they give you four different options. There's also very similar questions to this that have you move an entire paragraph in a passage. They'll pick a paragraph and they'll say, like, basically, where does the paragraph fit best? And they'll give you four different options. Questions like this are ones to skip if you struggle with timing. So if you're struggling with timing, you're not able to finish the whole thing. Anytime you see a question like this, I would just guess a random one and keep going. Again, they just take a lot of time. They're not particularly hard, but they are time consuming because you have to insert this sentence or paragraph four different places and reread to see if it makes sense in context. So on this one, you would just plug it into all the different places and see which one works the best. You'd have to read a sentence before the sentence, read the actual sentence, read a sentence after where the sentence goes, and whichever of the four places just seems to flow the best and seems to make the most sense, pick that one. There's not really any difficulty to these. It's just time consuming. We're going to move on to a deleting type question now. Number 13 on this 2018 test. This one says, if the writer were to delete the preceding sentence, the paragraph would primarily lose a statement that, and we have four different options. I'm going to read the sentence they're thinking about deleting. The sentence says, each gift came with a note expressing special gratitude for libraries, books, words, and ideas. And just a little bit of context, this passage is talking about these sculptures that have been found, and no one really knows who made the sculptures. And this sentence is referencing that each of these gifts or sculptures came with this note of gratitude about libraries and books. Again, back to this question, it's basically saying, if the writer deletes the sentence, what are we going to lose? This kind of question shows up pretty frequently. You can expect maybe three or four of this kind of question. And what you want to watch out for is exactly what is in that sentence. Don't worry about what's in the rest of the passage, what's in the rest of the paragraph. Only focus on that one particular sentence and what that one particular sentence is adding to the passage. So I'm going to read through the different options. So option A says, suggests the essay writer knows the identity of the artist. B says, explains why the artist created the sculptures. C, proves the artist is a woman. D, indicates the artist is a librarian. All we have to do is look through these different options and see if that one particular sentence matches with what these options are saying. So again, I'll reread the sentence. It says, each gift came with a note expressing special gratitude for libraries, books, words, and ideas. Okay, option A says, this suggests the essay writer knows the identity of the artist. That's not true because this one sentence doesn't say anything about the identity of the artist. We don't get that there. Okay, B says, explains why the artist created the sculptures. That one might be true. It seems like the artist probably created the sculptures because they like libraries and books and things. So we're going to hold on to B, see if that one is the last one standing. C says, proves the artist is a woman. That's not true. There's no mention at all of gender in that sentence. And then D, indicates the artist is a librarian. That one also isn't true. We might be tempted to think that because librarians probably love libraries and books, but it doesn't specifically point out that the artist is a librarian. So we're going to pick B on this one. It explains why the artist created the sculptures. It kind of gives us an idea that they made these sculptures because they love books and things. So on questions like this, just pay careful attention to that one particular sentence. And then just go through the options and see if that sentence you're thinking about deleting really contains what the answers are saying. And just a note also that I think confuses some people. When it says preceding sentence, it means that one sentence right before the box. They'll say following sentence if they mean the sentence right after the box where the number is. Okay, now we're going to look at another type of question, kind of similar but different. And what you're doing, 65. 65 says, in the preceding sentence, the writer is considering revising the phrase assigned to work on to responsible for oiling. Given that the revised phrase is accurate, should the writer make this revision? So instead of adding or deleting something here, we're changing one phrase in this sentence. So the sentence it's talking about says, while working for the Michigan Central Railroad in the 1870s, McCoy was assigned to work on the wheel bearings and axles of trains. And so we're thinking about changing assigned to work on to responsible for oiling. Then it would read, while working on the Michigan Central Railroad in the 1870s, McCoy was responsible for oiling the wheel bearings on axles and trains. So it's important to think when you're changing things, what is actually changing? It sounds kind of obvious, but just pay attention to what's changing. The rest of the sentence is the same. So all we're doing is assigned to work becoming responsible for oiling. Basically, that's making it a little more specific. Work is more general, but oiling kind of gives us a more exact picture of what McCoy is doing. And then let's go through the different answer choices here. So another important thing to note with these different answer choices, we have A, B, C, D. A and B both say yes, C and D both say no, and then they each have different reasons for why you would or wouldn't make this revision. On a question like this, I think it's much easier to start with the actual reasons rather than say yes or no. I think sometimes it's harder to know whether this is a good choice, but when you look through the reasons they've given you, you can for sure identify that some of those reasons are just totally wrong and some of them are more right. So let's just go through these reasons and we'll kind of see what we get. So A says, yes, because the revision specifically describes the procedures McCoy had to follow as he maintained the wheel bearings and axles of trains. So that statement's true. So the reasoning is true. It's more specific. It talks about oiling. Whether that's the right answer, we don't know quite yet, because even if the reason is true, it still might not be a good thing to add at this point. So you kind of have to balance two things. You have to make sure the reason is true, and then you have to pick whether, even if that reason is true, whether you still should add the revision or leave it out. So A is probably a good option. B says, yes, because the revision provides a clear connection between McCoy's main task as a railroad worker and his first patented device. So this, we would have to read through the rest of the passage, which I haven't actually done until now. So I'm going to read through real quick. Brief pause. Okay, I just skimmed through the passage, and this is also true. It turns out later it talks about McCoy inventing this auto-oiling device. B is also... the reason is pretty good. It provides a clear connection between his work on the railroad and making his first device. So A and B both might be true. Let's go down to C and D. It says no. C is no because the revision doesn't indicate whether McCoy chose to oil the wheel bearings and axles of the trains by hand. Okay, that reason is also true. So at this point, our reasoning method isn't working super well. On some questions, it'll work really well. Like you can eliminate three answers just by finding wrong reasons after the yeses and nos, but in this case it's not turning out so great. And then D says no because the revision doesn't make clear whether McCoy had worked on trains for other railroad companies. Okay, so actually all of these reasons are true here, but starting with the reasons I think helps you understand, even if we haven't been able to eliminate all of these, I think at this point it's now maybe more obvious that knowing that he oiled these wheel bearing things ties in pretty closely to the fact that he invented this machine that would automatically oil the train parts. So kind of based on that, I would choose B, because that seems to be the best argument for including this responsible for oiling phrase, because it ties in really closely to what comes right after, which is that he invents this machine that oils the parts automatically. So even if you aren't able to eliminate answers by going through the reasons, which I will say you often can eliminate two or three even. Even if you can't do that, the fact going through these answers kind of clears up in your head. It gives you a more clear idea of what you need to do regarding yes or no. So I think for that reason, it's always best to just go through all the answers kind of one by one. You can knock off some, and even if you can't, by the end, it's usually more clear. One other note related to this. To be able to answer this question, I had to read stuff that was later in the passage. Some questions do require you to know stuff that happens after where the question appears. And be watching out for stuff like that. Some of them are very obvious. Like some will say, which of the following sentences could you add to best tie into the next paragraph? If you haven't read the next paragraph, there's no way to know what sentence you should add to like transition into that. So make sure anytime it's referencing like stuff later in the passage that you actually go through and read the later stuff. And the way I would recommend doing that, like for this one, I basically just had to read till the end of this paragraph. So if I look at 65 and I realize I need to read stuff later, go ahead and read through it and stop and answer the underlined parts as you go. So in this particular paragraph, there were two more, 66 and 67, were both questions in the paragraph that I would have answered as I was going down. And then I would go back to 65 and answer that one. So you just kind of skip one, keep answering until you hit a point where you've read up to where you need to, and then go back and answer. And that makes finding the right answer way easier. A lot of the time it becomes very obvious when you've read stuff later, but a lot of people taking the ACT don't really think to read ahead. They just try to answer it right there when it's a lot easier to just answer the question after you've already read kind of to the end of the paragraph or sometimes even to the end of the passage. But usually, I will say usually reading just the next paragraph or to the end of the paragraph you're in is plenty. Okay, so that's the end of this episode. Here's kind of your first introduction to rhetoric. So pay careful attention to the questions. Like we were just talking about, read to the end of a paragraph if you need to. Context matters a lot for rhetoric. So one more thing related to this that I haven't mentioned yet. Rhetoric questions require you to understand what's actually happening in the passage, whereas grammar questions don't. But a lot of the time answering the grammar questions kind of makes you lose track of the story. It makes you lose track of what the author is doing, like their writing style, why they're writing, what they're writing. On these rhetoric questions where it's asking you either to like add a sentence, delete a sentence, move a sentence, we'll see more in the next episodes of different kinds of rhetoric things that show up. It's a good idea to re-skim a little bit if you're kind of feeling lost. So if you're feeling lost on a question, skim maybe a few lines above, a few lines below real quick. Take a couple seconds to re-skim the passage. If you're on a rhetoric question and you don't really know what you're supposed to do, or you've kind of just lost track of what's going on with the story. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. I appreciate all the listeners out there. Shout out to the people in Kazakhstan listening. Pretty excited about that. I'm glad to see the podcast going worldwide. Also, the NBA Finals are happening right now, and I'm blown away by how well the Raptors are playing, especially Kawhi Leonard. He's been my guy for like 4 years, and I'm super pumped about this. Side note, you can stop listening if you're done. There's no more good content coming. But my wife and I went up to Jurassic Park, which is the Raptors' outdoor watch party, basically, right next to their arena, and it was awesome. We went up there during the Bucks series. Just because we were close, we went to Niagara Falls. But thanks for listening, guys. Again, you can email me at 36ACTpodcast, and we'll see you in the next episode.